Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
For those of you who were not here last week, we have the same title for today, Gospel-Shaped Care for Faithful Elders. Elders also need the care of the church. So let me just remind us of our big idea, and it is this. Faithful elders should be well compensated and well trusted by the church, because these are crucial to their continued and growing excellence in shepherding the church. And we only finished the first point. Our first point last week was faithful elders should be given their well-deserved honor. And it was clear last week that what was more important to Paul was the growth of the church. And because in one way or another, the growth of the church happens through the preaching and teaching of God's word, Paul clearly had it in his heart that the elders, or the main preacher, teacher, the pastors in the church, should give themselves fully to this work. And the church would never grow if the sermon is haphazardly done. Right? It has to be a quality sermon, because the church lives out of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so we said that those who are ruling well, those who are leading well, those who are giving their lives to preaching and teaching God's word, along with the other ruling elders in the church, they should be given their well-deserved honor, which means their support. So today we'll be in the second point, another way by which we can care for our leaders is through giving them our trust. So our second point is faithful elders should be accorded their well-deserved trust. Our kids in the church, again, your word for today is trust. And just remind your parents on your way home, Mom, I heard, or Dad, I heard Pastor saying our word today is trust. Can you please explain it to us? And if they could not explain it to you, tell me next week. One of the ways by which we can honor the elders who rule well in the church is to give them our respect and trust. And I think it is not rocket science. You know, you do not need a degree in the seminary to understand that one way by which we can give leaders our care, to honor them, is to give them our respect and trust, isn't it? That this is not unique to the church. This is how things are normally done. Have you ever had a person whom you respected well? Could it be your father or tito, your boss in the company? And isn't it that not only do we ignore but even defend a person, this person whom we greatly trust and respect, if an accusation is thrown against him? We give it to them if we trust them, if we respect them, if we know that they are really a person of integrity. We respect and trust them, isn't it? Children who see their father as, you know, a man of integrity, they will defend them to their teeth. Psalm 127 tells us that children are heritage from the Lord. And we are told in that same psalm that when their fathers will be brought to court, to the gate, their children will defend them. They will stand as their lawyers, their advocates. So it is clear then that what Paul said here is that those who have ruled well, still the same context, those who ruled well should be given their well-deserved trust. So I want to dive into that right away because I am even doubtful if I can finish this today. And if I would not be able to finish this today, then there will be part three, and I hope you can bear with me. Because the reason for that is I take this as an opportunity for us to learn something that many times we are still navigating how to deal with these matters. How should faithful elders be honored when it comes to trust? And I have two sub-points on this particular point. And as I have said, I might be able to just finish sub-point A. Here's our first sub-point. Faithful elders should be accorded their well-deserved trust so that charges against them should not be admitted until a case is established or until a charge is established. It should not be admitted. And by the way, I'm not the one who said that one, right? So I'm not the one who said that one. It's Paul who said that one. What I realize is that many of us still do not know how to handle accusations. And here's what happened most of the time. If there are accusations against elder, we content ourselves with talking about it when we are having fellowship at Starbucks. Right? Ginagawa po natin minsang pulutan. Ay, wala na pala. While we talk when we are drinking coffee, when we are talking, when we are having fellowship, we talk about it. And the lamentable part of it, the sad part of it, is many times we do not have the conviction that what we are doing is actually what we call as gossips. And it is actually a sin against the Lord. What we find today is that, you know, we should not be content about talking about these things somewhere else. We should bring this to the leaders. We should bring this one to the leaders in the church. Should we expect the leaders to right away believe these accusations? Certainly not. We cannot say, I already told the leaders and they're supposed to believe me. Now, Paul, look at what Paul said here. He said, do not admit a charge against an elder. Now, Paul's exhortation here is like informing us of what should be our instinct. Yes, you heard me right. It's supposed to be an instinct when we hear charges or allegations against the leaders or a particular leader in the church. And it is to, in accordance to, or in John MacArthur's word, ignore. MacArthur said, ignore a charge against an elder. Let me allow you to think of that for a minute or two. For a few seconds. Ignore an accusation against an elder. Does it not sound like there is a problem in this exhortation? It is an accusation. How can you just simply dismiss it? This at least already creates a confusion. If we are to hold elders at a very high standard, why should we ignore charges against them? Should we not hear and listen to these allegations so that we can better deal with it? How should we understand this exhortation of Paul? First, let me cite here that the context talks about elders who rule well. Let me remind you of verse 17. Paul is not talking about elders who are sinning. Paul is not talking about elders who have, you know, or are bad in leader and leading. Paul is talking about elders who rule well. So don't get me wrong that I'm putting elders or pastors in an untouchable pedestal, the kind of thing where we say, touch not the Lord's anointed. That's not what we're talking. It sounds cultic. That's not what we're talking about. It's far from it. However, if elders are held to such standard, then substantial, that's the word, substantial allegations. Paul said two or three witnesses, then investigation should start. But until there is a substantial allegation from two or three witnesses, Paul's point is anything said against a known, and let me put it in the context, faithful elder should be, in John MacArthur's word, ignored. It should be ignored. Hearsay and gossips that might have been coming from those whose expectations are beyond what the responsibilities of elders should be dismissed outrightly. This is exactly what Paul said here. Outrightly dismissed these allegations. It might help if we go back to the historical background or what was going on, why Paul had to exhort Timothy to not admit any allegation against faithful elder. We already know that Timothy might have already asked some people to stop their false teaching. And in fact, because of that, he might have gained enemies already, or the elders together with him might have gained enemies already. There was quite a tension in the church. That was the situation. I do not want to be in that situation, but that was their situation. I believe these people who are raising up accusations against the leaders were those who were removed from their position. These were the used to be elders as well who were removed from their position, and they're starting to make divisions in the church, accusing those who are faithful elders. The congregation might turn against the elders and follow them instead. Maybe the Paul's prophecy in Acts chapter 20, if you remember when he talked to the elders of Ephesus, the same congregation that Timothy was pastoring, Paul already made a prophecy. Acts 20, 29 to 30, it reads, Paul said, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Where will it coming? Where will it be coming? Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And look at this. And from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So that probably have painted a picture to us of what was going on in the church. There were those who just wanted following in the church. And they were saying false accusations against the leaders so that they might somehow draw some people to them. Maybe they were thinking, we can split this church. Sounds like 21st century. Imagine if we entertain everything that is said against an elder, would we not lose respect on them? And if we lost respect, should it not affect the way we treat them? Could we still respect their counsel? Should we still want to listen to their preaching most especially? Now, with that background in mind, Paul said, so I hope I painted the possible background or what was happening in the church at the time, and it is to that picture that Paul said, do not admit the charge against an elder. Because any faithful elder would have already lost his cutting edge because of the made-up false accusations of these false teachers. The thing about accusations, is that these accusations, many times, are already circling around, but without the knowledge of the particular leader in the church. That's what happened with gossips, di ba? Yung concerned person, siya po yung last na nakakaalam. And this is what is sad about this. So it is in this context, the charges should not be admitted. Paul is in no way saying if there is an established charge, if there is a valid charge, Paul is in no way saying dismiss them. Remember he said, except on the basis of two or three witnesses. In other words, there is a substantial, there is a valid charge, but until then, it is not called charge, it is called gossip. You know, it is not a formal charge. It is probably a gossip. Because no one would like to stand for his accusation. You see the picture? If there are no one witness, not even one, ibig sabihin, meron nagsasabi, pero ayaw niyang tayuan. Ayaw niyang i-formalize yung kanyang complaint to the leaders that I find this particular elder to be doing so and so. He could not present himself as a witness of that, and so he will just talk about it in Starbucks. The word admit in other translations, it is translated receive. And literally, this means to entertain or to consider in the mind. To not admit then means do not even entertain it. Plain and simple. Do not let it linger in your mind. Or to John MacArthur's point, do not, or rather, ignore them. We can gain wisdom from this, isn't it? As a church, right? Because we do not know, this might happen. And at least we already know what to do when things like this would arise. And to think of false teachers who might be the ones falsely accusing the elders, we can learn something from it. When the person who is making the allegation against a particular leader in the church, then we should know already that they are just there to discredit, hurt, and destroy a faithful elder. This is a problem at times in church. Let me put this like this. Sometimes we already know that this person is like problematic in the church. He is against the leadership. He is against some teaching in the church. And yet here's the problem. We love to listen to them. And many times everything is taken into consideration, how they would feel towards things, and so on and so forth. But many times what is not taken into consideration is how to show honor to the faithful elder in situation like this. And as we keep on listening to these people who keep on falsely accusing, little did we know that we already have the same heart as them towards a leader in the church. You see, when it is okay with us to entertain false accusations, I would say we obviously do not know what is at stake. We are oblivious of what is at stake. Sometimes we just felt so powerful that it was to me that these things have been told. And we felt empowered because of all the people he trusted me. He told me every grievance that he has. No, that's not Actually, that's a sign of immaturity. Because we are oblivious of what Satan is doing. He is already doing his work of destroying the church, and we do not even know it. We emphasized last week that Paul was not as concerned of the compensation of the elder as much as the growth of the church, which relies on the effectiveness of the elders in preaching and teaching the word of God. And I don't think Paul have changed his burden, his concern, when we get to verse 19. I think Paul's burden here to tell the church, do not admit an accusation, because he knew exactly what was at stake. And what was at stake is that when an elder loses his cutting edge, he will no longer be effective in preaching and teaching God's word to the demise of the church, to the hinder of the growth of the church. Look at what John Calvin have to say about this. Let me quote him. It's a long quote, but sometimes I feel like they say things better than I do, and so let me just quote them. John Calvin wrote, not sometimes, but most of the time, not only does it arise from the difficulty of their office, meaning the leaders, that sometimes they either sink under it or stagger or halt or blunder, in consequence of which wicked men seized many occasions for finding fault with them. But there is this additional vexation, this grieving in the heart, that although they perform their duty correctly so as not to commit any error, they never escape 1,000 censures, 1,000 criticisms. And this is the craftiness of Satan. Look at what he wants to do, to draw away the hearts of men from ministers, from leaders, that instruction, that teaching or preaching may gradually fall into contempt. Thus, not only is wrong done to innocent persons in having their reputation unjustly wounded, but the authority of the sacred doctrine of God is diminished. This is what drives Paul to say, do not commit or do not admit a charge against a faithful elder. Even if I believe Paul knew exactly, he might risk himself of being charged or being misunderstood. Because when you say do not charge or do not admit a charge against an elder, you know the effect of that. Like, why? That's an allegation. Shouldn't I listen? But despite of the risk of being misunderstood, Paul rather said it straight. Do not admit an accusation, a charge against an elder, because he knew exactly what was at stake. And again, the picture here is that everyone are talking about it, and no one stand and say, I am a witness of this problem. This is actually the problem here. Until formal complaint is brought up, then the instruction is, do not admit a charge. This should be a witness, right? This should be a witness. I think this is the right point to ask, should the church then turn a blind eye on the sins of the elders? By no means, I would say. By no means. Paul is not saying, be dismissive of any accusation. That's not what Paul meant here. I hope we painted the picture, the first picture. People are talking, but no one wants to stand. Sometimes nga, hindi na natin alam, sino ba talagang nagsimula nito? Saan ba ito galing? And then sasabihin mo, galing ta sa'yo. Hindi, galing sa kanya yan eh. Tapos nagtuturuan na lahat, and no one would admit kung saan galing yung accusation or charge. But we might not notice if you go back to your scripture, that the person who just said a charge is not the one whom we call witness, at least not yet. He might even be a gossip. Legally speaking, when we are talking about what we know of an incident, we are not yet considered a witness in the court. And just because we watch a news in the television and we heard about what happened of a crime, and then we talk about it, doesn't make us a witness. Are we a witness? No, we're not considered a witness. Until you are presented in the church and that you are a witness in a formal court, then you are not a witness. Even if you saw the incident, but if you do not present yourself, if you refuse to come forward and say, I witness it, and I'm willing to stand for what I saw, then you are not a witness. At least formally talking. What Paul is talking about here when we say witness, it is not simply that I saw the elder or I saw a leader doing this. We're talking about witness. They are the people who said, I saw it and I'm willing to stand with the leaders, to sit down with the leaders and tell them of what I know and what I see. That's when we can consider a person a witness. Paul's biblical basis in saying, except on the basis of two or three witnesses, might have been taken from Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. So if you go there rather quickly, let me just read Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. It reads, a single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses shall a charge be established. This is clearly talking about a formal court where someone is presenting an accusation to the leaders or elders of Israel. And until someone then is willing to bring the complaint to the leaders, then there is no one who is considered as a witness. And entertaining any accusation outside of where it should be discussed will run us the risk of simply gossiping, will run us the risk of sinning against the Lord. We have to do it rightly. Hear me out, church, because we want the church to be holy before God. We want the things that we do in the church to be honoring and glorifying to God. So Starbucks, it's not the right court to talk about that. Talagang pinag-iinitan, sorry. Or any coffee shops in that matter, or any homes in that matter, or anywhere we have our fellowship, that is not the right place to bring up our accusations. Someone should bring a formal charge. Because the goal, according to Paul and according to Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, a charge should be established. A charge should be established. Until a person is willing to stand for his allegations before the leaders of the church, an allegation will only be a gossip and will never become an established charge. You see, the beauty of this, I think the beauty of this is that there might be those who are willing to stand for his charges for wrong reason. For wrong reasons. Yes, we do not dismiss that fact. But majority of the time, a person who is willing to come out and say, I know that and I've witnessed it, many times they are the ones who are genuinely concerned. To bring a charge would put a person in danger of being seen as divisive. Diba? Kung ikaw na nga yung nagdala ng nang nakita mo, tapos many times pa, ikaw pa yung i-charge na divisive ka, contentious ka, malicious ka. There is that danger. So that, for anyone who braves to come to the leaders and the people na kailangan inform and say, I know this that this happened, clearly, he is forgetting about self-preservation. What is the reason why we do not speak what we know? It is because we do not want to put ourselves into trouble. Why is it that even if we know something, we choose to shut our mouth? It is because of self-preservation. Our flesh, who doesn't want anyone to unlike us. We always want to be liked. We do not want that. I admire those people who come out and say, I witness it, I know it, because I know my instinct is to see that person as genuinely concerned, not only of a particular leader in the church, but genuinely concerned of the church and the testimony of the gospel. It is for this reason that most would only talk about it, but no one would formally bring it up. But the question remains, do we have a genuine concern of the elder or the leader? Do we have a genuine concern of the church? Do we have a genuine concern of the name of Christ? Or we are just simply discontented? We are just simply angry? Or because of our grievances as well towards a particular leader who is being talked about, the concerned elder, it feels good that a negative thing is said about a person. And sometimes pagka ang sama ng pakiramdam mo, parang feeling mo, you are not good enough, and then someone is talking about another person, it feels good to think, okay, I'm not the only one who's not good enough. He too is not good enough. It takes a genuine concern to air out concerns to the leaders of the church. Again, many times, witnesses, those who are willing to stand up for what they saw, what they know, in the context of the church, are genuinely concerned. But how would we know if what we are concerned of is valid? God is a perfect wisdom. And he used the culture at the time to say that if what you see is valid and you see it right, then there should be someone who also sees that. That's why he says two or three witnesses. And if there are no one in the church who can validate what you see, can you see the pride of Pastor Enteng? No. Is he not guilty of pride? And then you're trying to convince others, he's guilty of pride. And then after 1 month of saying, I see pride in him, and no one agrees with you, maybe you're wrong. Right? But if there's someone who said, yeah, I agree with you, brother, I see that too, then what you see in me might be true. What you see in the leaders, other leaders, might be true. Because it cannot be that you're the only one who sees that. Right? Only then can a charge is established. Now that's a different picture, isn't it? It is a different picture from what we do in coffee shops and we talk about all these things and we love to do these things. It is a different picture when there are those who would stand for what they saw. Now, if ever there is like that, there are those who stand against an allegation, or against an elder, then we have a formal charge. So we are not asked by Paul to turn a blind eye, but to do it properly. And this is my drive. I'm not here to protect our leaders or myself. I'm not here for that. I'm here, as you all know, having the drive that we as a church will honor God, to do it rightly. To do it properly. It is right for you to bring if you see something wrong, if you see some inconsistencies, if you see problems in the leaders of the church, it is right for you to bring that one up in the right way. Didn't Paul said that the process should not be impartial in verse 21? Right? It should not be impartially done. Because if we will just entertain accusations against a leader in the church, and yet later on realize that these accusations are not true, we might say at the end of the day, oh, the accused leader is vindicated. Sounds nice. But the truth is something about his reputation has already been damaged. The truth is, the harm has been done. This is the risk that we are into when we idly, when we mindlessly talk about negative things in our fellowship. Right? Let's root this sin out. And I'm guilty at some point in the past. And I don't have to ask you if you're guilty. We have at some point in the past been guilty of this, but this is an opportunity for us to grow as a church, to know what should be done if there are things like this. I hope that as leaders in the church, we were able to show to you that you don't have to fear if you bring some of these truths. There's nothing to fear because we are for each other. We are for the glory of God. We are for the testimony of the gospel. We are for the unity of the church. Thus, because of the respect and trust that we give to faithful elders, it should be an instinct to ignore a charge against a faithful elder until there are two or more witnesses who are genuinely concerned of the elder, the church, and most especially, the testimony of the gospel. It should be an instinct to ignore an accusation. You see, if it is only an idle topic, alam niyo po yung idle topic, yung sobra na po tayong masaya na tayo, tungtuwa na po tayo, nagtatawanan na tayo, hindi na po natin iniisip yung mga bagay-bagay. Ano? And then we start talking about things and then mag-repent na lang pag-uwi sa bahay. And many times we already talk about these things and no one wants to bring it formally to the leadership. You see, we should not entertain these things. The elders of the church will not be entertaining accusations against a fellow elder until two witnesses are willing to stand up for these accusations. We want to implement this. And I'm guilty of this in the past. When an accusation was brought to me, I would confront the person who was accused. But right now, because this is not just for the elders. Deuteronomy 19:15, this is not just for the elders of the church. That's just how you show respect and trust for everyone in the community of God. Our default is not to listen. Right? Our default is to trust our brothers. Paul said, from now on, I will no longer regard you according to the flesh. Because he said, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Paul's default is not like, really? No, Paul's default is to trust a brother, is to trust a sister. That is Paul's default. That should be our default. If you have experienced how the gospel have worked in your life, so that you understand there is a genuine desire to live for holiness. Now, if you know that there is a genuine desire to live for holiness, why would you think that the same work of the Holy Spirit is true in your brother's life? Why would you think it is only true in your own life? The same gospel that you believed, the same Holy Spirit that you believed, so that if you can say that the love of Christ controls me so that I no longer live for myself, but for the one who raised for me, then it is also true, most especially, or most likely, that brother of yours, He also experienced that. Can we change that? Our church, can we accord one another with that brotherly trust, with that brotherly love? However, again, how guilty are we of this many times? Yan sa sarap lang po talagang pakinggan, ano? Ano na, parang pag nag-uusap na tayo again, so ganun pala yun siya. Hindi mo lang natin na malayan na 3 hours na natin pinag-usapan, parang ang saya-saya pa natin, ano? Pero pag nag-Bible study na, 15 minutes into Bible study, pag ganun-ganun, antok-antok na. We have these words in our own language. Buhay ng may buhay yan eh. And understand this, however good we felt about talking about other people's lives, there's no going around it. It is called sin. It is just plainly sin. I always love, one of you raised up your concern to me and told me, Pastor, I'm a little bit concerned of the age of our elders in training. Because they are young and handsome. Baby face pa. And you know what? I love it. I love it. I welcomed it with joy. I welcomed it. I embraced it. I said, that concern is valid. That concern is valid. I will never see anyone who brought up a valid concern to the leadership. I will never turn against that person because that person just shows that he is concerned of the life of the church. He's concerned of the life of the church. He's here and you can talk to him. I was not able to talk to him, but maybe after the service you'll ask me and I'll tell you. But you can ask him how I received that criticism. I think valid criticism. And I said, it's right for you. Because he even said, when he said that one, he raised this one up. He said, because Pastor, I have embraced this church. This is my church. And that is the attitude of one who have embraced the church, who love the gospel, who love the people in the church. They are not content with just talking about these things outside. They will bring this one to the leadership so that they can this can be addressed properly and rightly. Are we one in this? Right? I think if I'll continue with my point number 2, that would be a problem. So today, church, is a short message for us. But I would love it that way because there's something to really learn here, isn't it? That if we all love the gospel, if we all just want to display what the gospel has done to us so that we are no longer happy with sin, but we are genuinely concerned, just as Christ was genuinely concerned in the cross of Calvary, then we should not be happy with this kind of thing anymore happening in the church, especially now that you are instructed of this, especially now that we know of this. Let's honor God together. Let's display the gospel together by being genuinely concerned of one another so that instead of talking about accusations outside and destroy someone else's reputation, right? Let us love the brother, approach the brother. If it is an elder in the church, if it is a leader in the church, bring it up to the leadership. And I'll assure you, we will handle it in a God-honoring, gospel-exalting way. There is a room for that in the church, right? There is a room. What shouldn't have, you know, or dapat walang room in the church is gossip. Pero things, presenting a formal things to the leadership, there should be a big room for that. There should be a big room for that. So I hope that we would learn and grow in this area and build one another instead of destroy one another as a church.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.